is just to enjoy one another. It's important that we do that. Open your Bibles. Matthew chapter 2. For some that may have missed a week or two, and we are now in the book of Matthew. We finished the book of Colossians. Sunday night, we're in Romans. Wednesday night, we're in Jeremiah. We'll be in Jeremiah 8 this Wednesday. So familiar passages, some of the more familiar passages of just even people that don't know the Bible, they'll be familiar with these passages. Let's read Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 12 this morning. Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. Just read along with me, and let's just make sure we understand. Many times the Gospels, remember the Gospels, it's for Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. The Gospel is what saves. It is personal faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, in who He is and what He has done, His work on the cross, His death, His burial, His resurrection. But the Gospels that tell about the life that culminated in saving activity on the cross and then His resurrection are in these first four books, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Let's just read Matthew chapter 2, verse 1 says this. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him." When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet." This is actually in Micah chapter 5, verse 2. It says this in verse 5. "And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel." Verse 7. "Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, 'Go and search diligently for the young child. And when he had found him, and when ye have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also.' When they," the wise men, "had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way." The title of the message this morning is, "How badly do we want to honor Jesus?" It's interesting when you have a story like this morning. It is one thing to understand the story. So let's understand, what did we just learn? We learned here that Jesus was born in Bethlehem, that there were some wise men, you may have heard the term magi, that would be the word for the plural of it's interesting, right? It's magos, singular, magi, plural. But here's what's interesting, and wise men is a good interpretation, but you know also, it's six times in the New Testament. You know two of those times, it's translated sorcerer. Did you know that? It's interesting. Because the wise men were sort of like, you know, the wise men that Daniel dealt with, and you know that they were the astrologers, and they were head and shoulders more intelligent than others, but they were also involved in a lot of things that weren't good. I'm not suggesting these guys were, but they were in that description. It's clear that God was bringing them to worship Jesus, right? What's interesting is, where in the Bible does it mention that there'll be a star that you follow and it'll lead you to the promised one? Nowhere. Now, I've read some goofy stuff. I read this one guy that said, "So then, we now know that there has to be additional revelation outside of the Bible that speaks of a star." That is not the conclusion you should make. But it is a conclusion you should make if you want to justify other books being inspired of God outside the Bible. That particular comment was made by a Jehovah's Witness. And sure enough, they have some stuff that speaks of a star. Just so you know, the Bible is the only thing that is inspired of God. It's God-breathed. 66 books from Genesis 1 to Revelation 22. And there is no other revelation. So there's no discussion about a star leading you to the Messiah. But I'm telling you, God used a star to lead these wise men to Jesus. So what do you do about that? I don't know. Let me know. I'm not preaching on that today. Okay, so I'm not going to make up stuff that says, what do we do with that? I don't know. Aren't you fascinated by the Bible? These guys got to Jesus by following a star, and when they saw it, they're like, oh, there it is again. How did they know this was going to lead them to the Messiah? Aren't these going to be some of your questions when you get to heaven? And so it's going to be so much we don't know, and you know why we don't know? Because God didn't want us to know. But here's what we want us to know. These wise men from afar, from the east, they followed a star, and it brought them to Jesus. And I'm guessing, I make a lot of stuff up, but I try to tell you when I'm making it up. I'm guessing Herod couldn't see the star. Duh, because he would have followed the star to Jesus as well, right? So, just some fascinating stuff in here. So, Herod the Great. Herod the Great died shortly after this. We see that even at the end of chapter 2. We'll cover that next week. But this is Herod the Great. Herod the Great was, of all the Herods, he was an amazing builder, right? The Temple Mount that he doubled the size of the Temple Mount where the temple. He greatly magnified the temple itself that was on the Temple Mount. I mean, you just understand there are 600 ton stones foundationally under the Temple Mount. I think I've mentioned this before. 600 ton stones upon 600 ton stones upon 600 ton stones. We wouldn't know how to put those on top of one another even today. And they didn't have mortar, and it's exactly, I saw it. And he was a builder. Now, I'm sure if OSHA would have been around, there's a lot of people that lost their lives doing this, right? So it probably wasn't done safely, but he didn't care. But he was a great builder. Masada, how many of you have heard of Masada? That great fortress, right? He built Masada. Caesarea, not Caesarea Philippi, but Caesarea, the great port city, he built that. Some of the most amazing things, right? We didn't learn how to pour concrete underwater until I think it was either the 18th or 19th century. He poured concrete underwater. Or at least he has concrete posts underwater. So he knew how to do it. So we're not evolving, we're devolving, we're getting dumber. The only thing that makes us think we're smarter is we're able to keep the information in computers. But we're really deteriorating. But that's not the story. Here's the story. It's that these wise men, God moved on them in some way that said, you need to go and you need to worship the king of the Jews. And they brought special gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And we'll talk about that. And we'll just talk about this. So I asked you this morning, how badly do we want to honor Jesus? I was already preparing this message, and I'm going to take you to a passage that's a little bit strange, but it's something that I think the Lord just triggered my heart, because of what I wanted to do was I wanted to give kind of a difference of the wise men and what they did in order to come and honor the king. And then what I think is the position of most professing believers today. I want you to turn in your Bibles to Matthew 26, verse 58. Matthew 26, verse 58. This is after Jesus was taken in the Garden of Gethsemane, and all of the apostles fled, including John, though John got some more courage later when he was in the courtyard. But they all fled. And the Bible says this in three of the Gospels, and it was called to my attention later this week. And it says this about Peter. This is prior to Peter denying the Lord Jesus Christ three times before the cock crew twice in the morning. It says this in Matthew 26, 58. It says, but Peter followed him afar off under the high priest's palace and went in and sat with the servants to see the end. I think the difference that I just want you to ponder this morning is, what kind of Christian do you want to be? And so most people in this room, you would say, I am a believer, I am a follower, I love Jesus. There's some of you in this room, you know you're not a follower of Jesus. And so I will tell you, nothing else matters until you get things right with God and you get your sins removed. Nothing else matters. Your life might be easier if you follow principles of the Bible, because following principles of the Bible, you will benefit from that. But your sins are the issues and they must be removed. And there's only one way to have your sins removed. That's faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. You know that. But you've just resisted. But so, for those of you that say, I'm a Christian. So let's not even talk about the average person that's a Christian today in America. All they want is they just want my family to be healthy. I want my bills paid. I just want things to go okay. And I don't really care if I never lead someone to Christ. I'm okay if I'm not that involved. I just want everything to go well for me. And so I think the average Christian in America is like Peter. You want to follow him from afar off. If you follow the end of Peter as he was following Jesus afar off, it didn't turn out well. He denied Jesus 3 times. Remember, the third time, he was following him so far off that he said, you want to make sure that I'm not a Galilean? He cussed like a sailor. So I just want you to be challenged this morning. I want you to ask this question: how badly do we want to honor Jesus? And I'm not preaching this to make you just feel guilty. That is not it at all. I want to be confronted with this. I am overwhelmed. I still haven't gotten over Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. I think about it every day, and be you transformed by the renewing of your mind. I want to be a different person. I'm not worried what you see, what you don't. I want to walk with God. I want to love him. I want to trust in him, and I want to believe in him, and it's okay whether I'm not worrying about results. I want to finish whatever time I have left on this earth. I want to finish it differently than the 54 years I've spent on this earth so far. And so I'm preaching to me, and so you may see my preaching be a bent that maybe just comes from my heart that says, I want to be different. I don't want to do the same old, and just selfishly consume life upon myself. And as long as everything goes okay, then I really won't be challenged by the Lord Jesus Christ. But I want us to look at the lives of these wise men, and I want you to just put yourselves in their spot, and I want you just to look at, are we really as zealous as these wise men? I trust that they truly were followers and believers on Jesus, the King of the Jews. I can't guarantee that. They did come and they worshiped him. Can a lost person declare and give worth to Jesus and be lost? Yes, they can. I don't know. If you ask me, I do expect that we may see these wise men in heaven, and I can't wait to hear the rest of the story. But what I want us to look at this morning, I want to learn from them. I want us to take this very familiar passage, a passage that I think is a delightful passage. I also, just so you know, it's interesting, right? I know we see, we three kings of Orient are. We don't know if there were three. In fact, there was probably a huge mass, huge entourage. Why do we think there were three? Or why do we sing that there were three? Because there were three gifts. We don't know how many wise men there were, but maybe it's probably a wise thing that we only think there were three because there are not that many wise men. And so, but we don't know how many there were. We don't know how many there were. The other thing that we see in our nativity scenes, right, is we see the wise men at the manger scene. There's debate on what the manger scene looked like. I'm not even going to get into that this morning. But I can tell you this. I'm confident that they weren't at the manger scene. And so they went to a house and they worshiped the king there. And so I'm not trying to destroy your nativity scenes. Enjoy them anyway. And, you know, it'd be a great discussion this year, you know, with your kids. Oh, well, kids, this is unbiblical. And I don't know what you're going to say. But let's learn from these men. The first thing I want you to see, these men were inconvenienced. This is the word I struggle with. I don't know what I couldn't come up with a better word. You imagine this. They followed a star. There's no revelation of God that there would be a star. I don't know how God laid it on their heart, communicated to them. You know, there's all kinds of theories, right? I'm not going to go through all the theories, but there was absolutely no concrete evidence. Here's the most beautiful thing. I love this when I have a Bible verse that says, do this. And I don't care if you think I'm crazy. If the Bible says do this, then I should do that. But there's a ton of things in life that people might just think you're nuts about in your pursuit of Jesus Christ because there's not a Bible verse that says thou shalt. These wise men came from afar. They came from the east, and there was no biblical revelation that they should follow a star. And they were inconvenienced. I want to ask you this. How badly do we want to honor Jesus? Are we willing to be inconvenienced? It's probably not the greatest word. I still struggle with it even as I say. But because it's not an inconvenience. But what it is it has to be a purposeful choice in life that says, what kind of Christian do you want to be? Someone recently asked me. They were asking about membership, and they said, well, we just want to understand what's going to be required of us. The question I have is, what kind of Christian do you want to be? If you want to be a part-time Christian, well, you're doing a great job of it right now. If you really want to be committed to Jesus Christ, then your life will be about Him. I want to tell you this. I know this. To become a Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night Christian and come to church won't make you a great Christian. I just know this. All the great Christians I know, they come to church whenever the doors are open. And I'm not trying to manipulate you. Come to church. I'm not. I will tell you, it is not an inconvenience for me. It is a delight for me. But I remember when my life changed and I became a Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night Christian that there was some wrestling I had to do. Because there was some priority shifting I had to do. It is what is most important for me. Is honoring the King the most important thing for me? And will I be inconvenienced? Will I prioritize that above all else? I could start listing all kinds of things, and I know this, our excuses are amazing, are they not? Why we are where we're at? I want to tell you this, I don't think it's going to help much in all of eternity when we have excuses. I ask you this, how badly do you want to honor Jesus? Are you willing to truly make Him the priority, the Lord of your life? These wise men were. They came from afar. They were willing to obey, even though there was no evidence that that star was the star that was going to lead them to the King of the Jews. And so I ask you, are you willing to be inconvenienced? Second thing I want you to see is they were not ashamed. Look at verse 2. They came declaring this, and so Herod ended up getting word. They said, where is he? And there, you got to understand, it just wasn't three guys traveling in. It was their whole entourage. It would have been a group of people that could travel safely that would actually ward off any criminals. He says, where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. I ask you this, how badly do you want to honor Jesus? You have to deal with this issue called, are you ashamed? How often do you declare the Lord Jesus Christ? I will tell you, I'm a broken record. I believe the greatest privilege we have in terms of doing. See, we need to walk with God. We need to worship the Lord. We need to commune with Him. We need to submit to Him daily. Those are critical. If we do not learn how to submit to the Lord, we can never have true victory in our lives. But I will tell you this, one of the greatest privileges we have is to declare Jesus Christ. But the reality is, I can preach week in and week out, and most people sitting in good Baptist churches, you don't declare Jesus Christ to anyone. I want to just eliminate this. Go out of your way to declare Jesus Christ. I know this, we get isolated, right? Then go to the store and determine this. I'm going to share Jesus with somebody before I leave this store. Amen. Right? I'm going to go to the gas station and share Jesus with somebody. Amen. Right? I'm telling you, you'll see it, just do it. Or is it just too inconvenient? You know the problem with America is that Christians are ashamed. You say, oh, Steve, I'm not ashamed. Then why aren't we declaring him? Is it priorities? I will tell you the greatest attribute of a believer is that we have to tell people about Jesus. I mean, the Tilleries are going to tell everybody about Eden, Selah. Tillery. It is, and I don't know if you knew this. I'm not going to do it. In October, I'm having a grandbaby. You think it's bad before she's here. You just wait. You know, there'll be like pictures just randomly pop up and then on my message. And I'm going to be excited about it. I'm going to tell her, tell you guys about her. I'm not allowed to say her name, and I almost did. Isn't that so terrible? Because I'm starting to pray for her by name. But I'm not allowed to tell you, will I make it to October 26th? But I'm not going to be ashamed of my granddaughter. I'll tell you what, I'll declare the word. I'll just tell you this. I mean, it's going to be like, she's mine. I'm going to love it. I'm going to enjoy it. What's happened to us, Christian, that the greatest privilege, we don't see it as the greatest privilege to tell people about Jesus? Folks, I want to tell you this. I'm working on a message. The abundant life is just being with Christ, is just walking with him and loving him. But I will tell you, the abundant life is a life that we share Jesus and we watch him change lives. If we don't see people saved and we don't see lives changed, what are we doing? Why are we here? Well, we are here to honor and glorify him, but he said, this is how I am glorified, that you would bear much fruit. And so I'm not trying to beat you up, I'm just trying to ask you this. These wise men, they didn't know Jesus the way you do. These wise men weren't ashamed, and they're just walking in because they didn't know they were supposed to be ashamed. And they go, where is he that is born King of the Jews? You know what? They just asked the question, and they got a whole bunch of attention, didn't they? Wouldn't it be good if we just did it lovingly, we did it kindly, we did it gently, and we just declared Jesus wherever we went? And I'll tell you this, I think you'll get some attention. I think somebody will pay attention. I just want to challenge you with this, is how badly do you want to honor Jesus? I think the greatest way to honor Jesus is to tell somebody about him. I mean, on a daily basis, on a weekly basis, on a regular basis, that you tell somebody about Jesus. I will tell you, I hadn't planned this. It's why, you know, door knocking gives you an opportunity to declare Jesus Christ. And so I encourage you to come out door knocking. If you're not comfortable talking, you can actually be with the talker. And so you can just watch them share the gospel of Jesus Christ. You say, that's manufactured, Steve. Okay, you know, some guy told me this. He goes, well, I'm against organized religion. And I said, I'm against disorganized religion. And he's like, oh, I don't know what you're talking about. And so, you know, it's just how you can share the gospel with others. Right? I want to encourage you with this. These wise men, they showed they had some wisdom. They were willing to be inconvenienced. And they were not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation, for the Jew first and also to the Greek. I want you just to understand this. God saved us so that we would be a light to declare his goodness, his glory, and it all culminates in the person of Jesus Christ. There's no greater privilege. Third thing I want you to see is they weren't distracted. I thought about this. Maybe this is, I was struggling with words to describe this. But they got the attention of Herod. And you got to understand, Herod was ruthless. You'll see that later next week when he slaughtered all those two and under in the region. And he was also powerful, important, and he was doing some great and mighty things. And so Herod gets their attention. And I want you to look at this. I want you to look at verse 7. It says, then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, so he's just, come over here, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently for the young child. When you have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him again. They weren't distracted. I do want you to notice this. Do you notice Herod was diligent? Herod was focused. He said, he asked them diligently, and he said, go seek for the child diligently. This is a lost man of lost men, Herod was. Herod was taking care of his own hide, because if there's another king on the scene, usually what happens is there's going to be a knife in your back. And so you always had to worry about who your enemies were, and they probably could be of your own household. And so Herod was serious about it. He was diligent about it. And he got these wise men involved, and they didn't let it distract them. What is it that'll distract us? Here's what happens so many times when we read the Bible, when we hear preaching, when we will leave a service and we have resolve in our heart and nothing happens. Week after week after week after week. There's not a person in this room that's a true believer of Jesus Christ that doesn't want to be a great Christian. But I would challenge you, do you really want to be a great Christian, because you would do things differently? The distractions are abundant. It's so weird. I've been thinking about this lately. We have more conveniences than ever in the history of mankind, but we are busier than ever before. And what they had to do before is they had to grow the food, right? They had to, you know, hand wash the clothes. They had to go get the water from the river. They had to do all this, and we act like we're busier than they were in the past. Something's wrong. We are not more busy than the people of the past. We are just more distracted and more involved in things that don't matter. Don't tell me that, you know, it's great. Laundry's a big deal, and it's overwhelming at times. But aren't you glad you don't have to hand wash it? Aren't you glad for dishwashers? I.e. kids. But, you know, whatever it is, if you don't have a dishwasher, I mean, get one. Why not? I'm pro dishwasher. I'm pro dryer, washing machine, hot water heater, toilet, showers, all that. But I'm not busier than the past, and the people of the past did more for Christ than this generation by far. Because all they did, and all they cared about much more than us, were the things of God. We busy ourselves with foolishness. I'm not anti-sports. I will tell you, I wish I had done less sports with my kids, and we didn't do a ton. If your kids never play sports, who cares? Amen. It's okay if your kids play sports. But if there's a conflict between God and your sport, I'm telling you, don't be foolish. They can't be there. God's first. I'm just telling you, who's the priority? What are the distractions? For the wise men, an important figure didn't distract them. How badly do we want to honor the king? These wise men that didn't know him the way we do, they were pretty committed. Fourth thing I want you to see, they were excited. Look at verse 10. It says, when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. They were excited. I want to tell you, this is the problem with Christianity. Let me just tell you, this is okay. I love feedback. So I was told, and because I'm just telling you, I'm just going to be honest. I was told, hey, your services are always the same. They're boring. Okay? It's all right. Good. Man, there was no misunderstanding of what that feedback was. So I took that feedback and I thought, so are you saying that our services are boring? Yes, they were. And I've stepped back. And let me just tell you, here's what I believe. I believe that we are here to worship the king. And maybe there's a better way to do that. But I think we need to worship the king in two primary ways. And there is a third way, and I'm deficient in that. The two primary ways that we try to focus on is that we will praise the king, we will sing about him, we will lift up our voices, we will worship him in song. And I love our singing, and we're going to strive to do that. The second thing is we're going to worship him, we are going to learn him, and we are going to have the preaching of the word of God. There's a third thing that I'm deficient in, but as I grow, I pray I will figure this out, how we do this. I never want things to be plastic, but it's prayer. If you ask me, As a pastor, I have three things, and it's not to entertain. I don't want to be boring. I don't want to be boring. It's okay, I'm not everybody's cup of tea. But I had to step back and I thought, well, what am I going to do? And all the thoughts and all the suggestions were, they didn't say this, we need entertained. You need to entertain us, preacher. Look, I don't want to be stubborn. Stubbornness is always bad. I want to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. But you help me. I tell you this, I am open to input. But Christ has to be at the center of it. I am okay. It doesn't have to be the way we have our services. You know, we've added scripture reading on Sunday night and Wednesday night because I thought that was better than repeating announcements. Scripture reading is good. And I try to look at history and I say, because here's what I believe. Folks, what we need is we need the power of God. And the reality is, this is my reality. I love you and we have a great church, but it's this. Sometimes I wonder, how different are we than the entertainment churches? I'm not sure. Do we tell people about Jesus? Do we have a passion? Are you mourning that you don't have one soul to your name? Are you upset that you don't have a baby? Or that's the preacher's job. I'm bothered we haven't seen anybody saved in a few months. I'm not okay with that. It's God's business, to be clear. But I really believe that is a reflection on me as a pastor and us as a congregation. We ought to see people being saved. Yes? We ought to. And so I'm bothered about that, but I want to tell you this. I'm excited about ministry. Are you excited about ministry? They were excited about seeing a stupid star. Now, the end of the star was a good thing. It was that they were going to be able to worship the King. But what are we excited about? Do we have to bring excitement in here? And look, I don't want to be boring. I'm all for figuring out how we honor the Lord Jesus Christ. But let me tell you where we really declare His worth is when we leave these four walls and how we live privately and publicly for the Lord Jesus Christ. This is sort of, and you, maybe people don't, this is sort of a pep rally that says, did you forget? Many times I'm like, yes, I did. Did you forget? Did you forget? Did you have a rough week at work? I did. I forgot that it's about Jesus, not about work. Did you forget? Let's remember. It's about Christ. Ready? Break. Go get him. That's okay. I mean, maybe. I've been called all kinds of things. But, folks, I do things because you help me. You help me. I don't know any other way, but we need to worship the King. We need to hear His word. And then we need to be doers of the word. And a critical part of our success, we just need to submit to Him. You see, it's not about our effort. It's not. I'm not preaching our effort. We need to be doers, but we need to always submit to the Lord. We can do nothing without Him. We don't go in the flesh. Submit to the Lord. Submit to the Lord. And He will provide. He will intervene. The Lord is better than we think. I've watched the Lord. He gets involved in the minutiae. He gets involved in the little things because He cares for you. The Lord is good. We just need to see His goodness better. Are you excited about the things of God? I want to tell you this. I love those folks that told me it's boring. You know what I love? They're good friends. And it took courage for them to say that, did it not? I love that they told me that. I will not forget it, and I'll tell you this. I want to figure out how we can be excited, not boring, and honor the King and Him be our focus and our only focus, the singular focus, and the only one that matters, the only one I want us to pay attention to when we gather together is the Lord Jesus Christ every time we gather together. If you can help me with that, I'm all ears. I really mean that. I promise you. The real question is, are we looking for excitement? Or is it already right in front of us and we just don't see it because we refuse to see it? It's Jesus. Are you excited about Him? Are you excited about living for Him? That's the real question. I'll tell you this. I believe this. If we were really excited about Jesus, every church will plant another church every 2 to 5 years because we just won't be able to fit them. We'll see people saved. And what are we going to do, preacher? Well, we're just going to plant another church over yonder. And then it'll empty some chairs. And then people are saved. Well, we'll just plant another church over yonder. You know what we're used to seeing? We're used to seeing churches. You know many churches, and the question is, when will they die? They're already dead, but when will they admit it? That's a sad situation, isn't it? You see, I'm not interested in just more rear ends in the seat. I'm interested in you being excited about the Lord Jesus Christ. And I love this. You know what? We need to sow in tears. And so I'm not talking about 20-minute sitcom that gets solved tomorrow. And if you guys get right with Jesus, we're going to have 23 people saved next week. God could do that. But there is a process. The reason why God uses the agricultural process so much is because you plant a seed and you aren't going to get the harvest until a lot longer later. And there's a lot of faith in between. But are you excited about the Lord Jesus Christ? The wise men were. They were excited about seeing the star. I want you to see this. What I love is these guys were important. They were significant, but they humbled themselves. Look at verse 11. And when they were coming to the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold, and frankincense, and myrrh. Do you see this? They fell down and worshipped him. This is a baby. Now, we all know it's God in the flesh. But how many people knew that? Not a bunch. Herod didn't, and Herod was in the know. Herod wanted to know all things, and Herod didn't know. The shepherds knew. You know, but nobody respected the shepherds. God went to the lowly first. You just love that. I love it. We've got to remember that. These important guys. I can't wait to get to heaven. Lord, can I just see what the picture of the entourage looks like? Watch it be really teeny. I'm making it up, right? But I think it was a large entourage. That was, you know, these wise men coming. What's going on here? What's going on? Are they declaring war on us? Shoom, shoom, shoom. You know, they're coming, not soldiers, but I think you wouldn't miss them. And you knew they were from the east because they're like, they don't look like us. You know, so all kinds of prejudices, right? What are these guys doing here? Where is he that is born King of the Jews? They didn't say this, but we're important. And we don't care what you think. You aren't going to stop us from doing what we came to do. Herod was powerful, but they didn't care about Herod. We're focused. And they got to the king. Little baby Josiah, right? And Jesus might have been grumpy. Sinlessly grumpy. I don't know how you can do that. And he may not have been just up for their visit. Might have been feeding time. Didn't matter. They bowed and they fell down and they worshiped the king. Because they understood this. They understood this truth that said, we are nothing compared to that baby. And they bowed and they worshiped the king. You see, I don't want to be boring, and I'm not going to make this a focus, you know, but we've come to worship the king. Bow down before the king. There's nobody more important than Jesus. There's nothing more important in my life than honoring Jesus Christ. You know what? If it means my lawn is going to be longer, then my lawn will be longer. If it means the laundry doesn't get done as quickly as it, then it doesn't get quickly as done. You know, I'm not even, we can probably do it all. But the devil has a million distractions. I could name them. There's a Heinz 57 variety. Will we humble ourselves before the king? And the final thing I want you to see, before I have one more thought, so it's kind of pre-final, just so you know. They were generous. Look at this. It cost them something. That's not me trying to get more money in the offering plate. You know what? I'll just tell you this. You know what I would want? I think I would be unscriptural and I would actually hurt you. I would sign a 10-year contract with every single person in this room if you would truly abide by that contract. That every single person in this room, you're not allowed to give a dime to Hope Baptist Church. I think I'd be unscriptural, but I'd probably do it. And just ask the Lord to forgive me. So a 10-year contract with every single person in this room. You're not allowed to give a dime to this church if you commit your life to Jesus Christ. and you will dedicate your life that every day you will tell somebody about Jesus. Every day you will pour your heart out to the Lord Jesus Christ. Every day you'll examine your heart and you'll repent of sin. Every day you'll try to be nice to your wife. Every day you'll try to be nice to your husband. Every day you'll try to be loving to your kids. Every day you'll try to have just some time with your children and raise them in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, and you'll be solely focused. I will tell you this, I'm not interested in your money. When I say it'll cost you something, it'll cost your life. He's after your heart. He's not after your wallet. Now, your wallet is tied to your where your treasure is. There's your heart also. I'm not after your money. That's not why I brought this point up. Oh, there he goes again. I'm not. You know this? You all could stop giving and God will take care of us. I'm not the right preacher because I don't have that kind of faith. But it's true. God wants me to have $1 million. You don't have to play the lottery. I don't think he wants me to have $1 million. You know why I don't? Because I don't have $1 million. It's not about money, but it'll cost you something. And it cost these men something. And boy, they knew. I think they knew. Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Gold. Worthy of a king. Gold. We will give you gold. And you got to understand this. Mary and Joseph were poor. Because they gave turtle doves for their offering. They were poor. And they get this gold. I don't think it was. And here you go. Here's a little gold. I think it was like, wow. You know, we don't know how long Joseph lived, but maybe that's when he had a heart attack and died. And so, no, he was there and they were 12. So, oh, sorry. All right, thank you for that. I felt that. I felt that judgment. he got gold, worthy of a king. Frankincense. Frankincense was incense that was, and you know, the altar of incense, it was representing prayers to God. I believe when they gave the frankincense, whether they did or not, they were recognizing the deity of Christ. This is God in the flesh. This is the king. We'll give him gold. This is God. We'll represent that with the frankincense. There's only prayers to God are all that matters. You're praying to anybody else to God, but God, you're wasting your time. There's no saint that'll hear you. There's no dead person that'll hear you. The Lord Jesus Christ is the one mediator between God and men. And so I want you to know this, the frankincense, and then the myrrh. All of this, it was probably, you know, Mary's heart must have been this big because all we read about Mary is she pondered this in her heart, pondered this in her heart. She's like, I don't know what's going on. But you know what the myrrh represented? Myrrh was an embalming oil. They bowed down before the king. Whether they knew it or not, their gold said, you're the king. Their frankincense said, you're God. And their myrrh said, and you're going to die. Oh, I hope the wise men knew that it was for them. You see, if we're going to be like the wise men, it'll cost us something. Not worried about your money. I want your heart. We'll be a far different church if we just say, Lord, here I am. I'm not much. None of us are impressive. None of us would be in that entourage of the wise men. But I'll tell you this, if you're saved and you're born again, the Lord will use you, not because of your talents, but because of his love and his glory and his kindness to you. I want you just to understand how badly do we want to honor Jesus. And then the result of being with Jesus. These guys came with Jesus. I want you to look at verse 12 and I'm finished. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. You know, the result of being with Jesus is obedience. And the result of obedience is God's blessings. The result of being with Jesus is it results in obedience. Just not a temporary conscience move. God, oh, it's convicted. Nothing. These guys were with the king. These guys bowed down before the king, a little baby. Jesus couldn't say thank you. Jesus couldn't say anything. But they worshiped the king. And it resulted in obedience. You got to understand. Herod was so furious, I believe Herod would have slaughtered them if he would have found out that they disobeyed his order and they didn't come and tell him where the king of the Jews was. They obeyed God because they had been with Jesus. See, the real question here today, and I'll close with this, and it's convicting to me. How badly do I want to honor Christ? How badly do I want to fully commit more and more and more? Do you know this? You know how much more I can give to the Lord Jesus Christ? There's a whole bunch more. How badly do I want it? It won't be difficult, Steve, when I'm with Jesus. Steve, these besetting sins, they're a joke if I've been with Jesus. Life is hard. How badly do you want to honor Christ? Let's pray. Father,